packet. It is. We're setting history right now. I have never given a shear with source number two, that you have in front of you. I'm giving this shear in my shul on Shabbos, but this is the first one. The first time I've ever quoting the Declaration of Independence in a shear. But here we go. So the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainus, and hopefully we'll have time for Parsha afterwards also, I have, for because I'm not going to have it next week. Maybe tomorrow we'll have a shear in Yonim of Parsha Zachar. We'll see. Again, we'll see what time I get here. The Gemara in Tainus tells us, Mishnechnas av amatim besimcha. As we know, that's what the Gemara is doing there in Tainus, because we have to lessen our simcha in av. You know the Chassidish Vart. It doesn't say that there's no simcha in av. It just says less. You always have to have simcha. You know, it just means less simcha. Right? Mima'atin besimcha. Okay. But then, of course, we say in the name of Rav, Kishem, Shemishnechnas av amatim besimcha. Interesting discussion of the kishem. What's the kishem? Just like. What's the parallel between the two? We have to recognize that everything is from Hashem. But I want to talk about today, a little bit, what exactly is simcha? You know, what does that mean? You know, what are we supposed to, we have to be marbet simcha in this month. You know, we have our own simcha here, yes. But what is it? What are we supposed to be marbe? What are we supposed to feel? What are we supposed to work on? What's the avoda? Right. The Declaration of Independence says it's the goal of our life, right? And it's an inalienable right of a human being to be able to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
It's just for Americans.
What? Only for Americans, right? Only for Americans. Only for Americans. But I saw there's, if you Wikipedia declaration, pursuit of happiness, it has like a form of it in a lot of different declarations. So happiness is a goal. If simcha is translated as happiness, it's translated as a goal. But it's interesting, in Judaism, we also have simcha, if you say that's happiness, but it's very different than the Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness means it's a goal. That's what you're getting, trying to get towards. What does the Pasuk say in Kisavo? We didn't serve Hashem with simcha. With simcha. Oh. Okay, I just thought of something, another makar to use. Okay, I'll mention it now outside. It's a great gemara. I didn't think of that yesterday. But anyway, so it's clear that it's only a means in Judaism. It's a means, it's not an ends. Right? Serving Hashem b'simcha. Right, and we know this idea is not even only in Adar. We have to be marbe in Adar, but we know the whole year. Right, we say David HaMelech says in Tehillim. We say it every morning. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. Also as a means, but that's not talking about Adar. So Ivdu es Hashem, serve Hashem with simcha always. So what is it about Purim Adar month that we have to be marbe b'simcha more than any other month, more than Nisan and? So why? What's unique about Adar? Maybe if we understand what Simcha is, then we'll understand what we're supposed to be Marbe in this month and what the message of Purim is. But we note it's like against its declaration. It's a means and not an ends. I just thought of this is also reflected in a Gemara in Sukkah. Gemara in Sukkah. Where's the Sukkah? Here. There's a great Gemara. Oh, this is... This is the transition, right, to the next month, right? We're learning Sukkah next month. There's a Gemara in Sukkah. I think it's Memches. Yeah, Memches and Mabez. Listen to this Gemara. Hahu Amalei Ahu Mina, the Shmei Sason, the Rebbe Avahu. There was a heretic named Sason. And he says to Rebbe Avahu, Asadizu de Tamlu Limayim La'ama Da'asi. You know what's going to happen in the future, Rebbe Avahu? You're going to be my servant and you're going to pour water for me. Dichsiv ushav temayim b'sason. So you're going to pour water for me. Amar lei says Rabbi Avahu, I have iksiv lisason ushav temayim lisason. Pour water to sason. Kit the comment, then you'd be right. But hashda dichsiv b'sason ushav temayim b'sason. You know what that means? Mashchidahu gavra mashvidin leguda. Your skin is going to become the outside of my water container. And umalidin be'maya, I'm going to fill you with water. Right? Ushavta mayim bisason. Right?
That's Rabbi Yabo's answer to him.
End of story. What is this going on? What's going on here? And even the previous, maybe you could help understand this with the previous story. The previous story says that Min Sason was also talking to his good friend. You know what his good friend's name was? Simcha. Amar Lei Sason LeSimcha. Right? Sason says to Simcha, Ano Adifne Minach, I am better than you. Because it says, Sason V'Simcha Yasigu. You see, Sason is before first in the Pasuk. Sason V'Simcha Yasigu. Amar Lei Simcha LeSason, Ano Adifne Minach. Simcha says, no, I'm better than you. As it says, Simcha V'Sason LaYehudim. What kind of Gemara is this? Right, and then it says, no, what is going on here? So the Bali, I don't remember who, I heard many, many years ago, I heard somebody talk about this Gemara and say, the issue is that the Sason, what makes them a heretic? Sason and Simcha thought that they were the goals of life. They were the pursuit of happiness. And that's why Sason says, I'm best, Sason v'Simcha. And the other one says, Simcha v'Sason. And they say to Rabbi Avohu, isn't the goal of life, v'shavta mayim v'Sason, I'm the goal. And Rabbi Avohu says, no, if it's a l'Sason, that's right. But you're the means. I use you. That was Rabbi Avohu's answer. I use you. I fill you up with water to drink to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. That's Sukkah Mem Ches Amabez. Right, Mem Ches Amabez, because that's the... So again, that reflects the difference between the Jewish way of and the non-Jewish way. We don't do the pursuit of happiness, but we use Simcha, assuming Simcha is happiness. But what is true happiness? How do we define that? And just hashgacha. You know, I check the news here and there, but this morning on, you could check it out after. Oh, I guess you don't. I don't know if you have JPost.com. Whatever gets on all the news is says the it says still there as a. One second, where is it? Here it is. It's a study that came out, right? Headline. Israelis are fifth happiest in the world despite ongoing war, report finds. There was a study that came out yesterday. The happiest countries in the world. Happiest countries in the world. There's 143 countries they ranked. 143. Israel's number five. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? Five? Right? We think Israel's going through a war and we have issues. Right? Right? So, number five. Israel's the fifth happiest country in the world despite the war in Gaza, according to the 2024 World Happiness Report. Right? World. If I had that yesterday, I would have like put it on the Mar Mekomos.
Right next to the Declaration of
Independence. Exactly. World Happiness Report. The publication ranks happiness on a national level each year. This year, Israel earned the fifth spot out of 143. Unbelievable. It measures happiness and subjective well-being based on three factors: life evaluation, positive emotions, and negative emotions. The Hulu, it's unbelievable. Positive and negative. If you ask anybody out there, what do you think? Right? Who beat us? Finland,
yes.
Denmark.
Yes.
Iceland and Sweden.
Those countries always have like a block.
They have like
Northern Europe.
I'm saying they have eight countries. People in the whole country.
Is it percentage or like, how is it like six?
What? Because what do they do? They sit there, they relax, they have no worries.
And all the nobody bothers them.
But it's unbelievable. Where's America? It's unbelievable. I have to check the thing, but I didn't see the whole chart. But it says other notable rankings: Iran 100,
shocking;
Jordan 125, Lebanon 142, and Afghanistan is in last place.
Where's Gaza?
Happiness policy researcher and technology Anat Fanti responded. Even this year, which was one of the most difficult in the country's history, Israel ranked in the top five in the International Happiness Index. The reason for this is that life satisfaction, the main index by which happiness is measured, is a stable index over time and refers to the characteristics of the country as a whole. The Chulani continues. Ranking fifth marks the stability of life satisfaction in Israel over the last few years, not only, for example, even during the corona period, which was traumatic all over the world, but it was also still possible to see that the top 10 of the global happiness rankings, the Chulani.
I'm surprised it's not right. Israel on just fifth, but Israel actually named the country, according to them.
Where's Gaza on the list?
Okay, so I don't know. You can check it. I have to check the happiness. Anyway, the happiness, world happiness report. But anyway, it just shows you that there's something that we have that nobody else has. Any other country, I don't know, if you would ask, I don't know where Ukraine is on the list.
Where are you?
You know, where, but so what is it about Simcha? How do you define it? So here we go. Here we go. The Mishnah tells us in Moed Katan, source number 5, we know the halacha, that Shabbos does not cancel Avelis. We just, the next 5 minutes we did already in morning shiur, out when we were in the dormitory, right? Shabbos does not cancel Avelis while Yantif does. Right, that's the Mishnah in Moed Katan. Right, Shiva is knocked out by Yantif. Shmona, if you already started Shiva, after Shiva, then he knocks out Shloshim. And the question that Tosfos asks is, what's the difference? Shabbos is also a Yom Kodesh. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yantif? They're both days that, I don't know, maybe shouldn't be able to coexist with Avelis, so we know there's a big difference. Right, so what's the difference? Remember this Tosfos? What's the difference between Shabbos and Yantif? What's the difference? Yantif has Simchas Yantif. Did we do this Tosfos? Maybe we didn't. Right? What? We didn't do the Tosfos. We did? I think we did. Yantif has Simchas Yantif. Shabbos just has Oneg.
Rabbi also mentioned it in the Berachah on Rav first week.
Exactly. Yeah. Very. Oh, you're on the WhatsApp? Yeah. Okay, great. No, I'm happy. I'm happy. I just think it's important. That was in the introduction. But anyway, so Tosfos says, Avagav the Shabbos Ola Regel Eino Ola. Even though Shabbos counts as a... as one of the days of Shiva, Yantif does not. Ho'el ve'en avilas klau, michsiv behu simcha. There's simchas Yantif. Shabbos mi'aloksiv simcha. Afilu eno noheges ola. Okay, so Shabbos does not have simcha. So then that just begs the question. Why is there simchas Yantif and not simchas Shabbos? So one answer I gave in the Berachon thing, but we're going to go down a different path from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says... what's the root of Simchas Yantif? The root of Simchas Yantif is a feeling of closeness to God. Simchas Yantif is Amidah Lefnei Hashem. We go to Hashem's house and we feel close to Him. That's Simcha in Judaism. Happiness in Judaism does not mean more money. Happiness in Judaism does not mean, you know, more anything. Closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why throughout Yantif, it's described as that. And that's what contradicts Avelus. Not eating well and drinking well. You can eat and drink well and sit on a low floor, sit on a low chair. The contradiction to Avelus is the state of feeling close to Hashem. Because when somebody's an Avel, there's Hester upon him. There's distance from God. That's what they feel. There's less Selam Elokim in the world. Right? Less Selam Elokim. And that's what the Rav writes in source number 7. Klalo shel davar, ha-mafkiya shel regel, simchas hayom, the mafkiya, the undoing of Yantif, simchas hayom, eino soser atzma'i kalikar. Simcha is not itself the contradiction to Avelus. Like again, on Shabbos, we could be what's called happy. And we eat good, and we feel good. Chalos stiris regel al yedei simcha, the contradiction with simcha, mu'ura, is tied into b'mashah b'regel kol yisrael omdim l'fnei Hashem. That we're supposed to feel as if we're connected to Hashem deeply on a yantif. Kidachsiv b'kra, v'kol chashivuso mizdahes im simchas adam l'fnei baro. The whole chashivus of the simcha is that we connect and we are identified as standing in front of Hashem. That's what contradicts Avelus. Avelus v'yamid l'vnei Hashem avim tarti desasri. Avelus and standing in front of Hashem is the contradiction. Whenever it says simcha in the Torah, it talks about usmachtem l'vnei Hashem alokeichem. So simcha is the ultimate contradiction. And Yantif is the day that we feel connected. Why Yantif? Why is Yantif specifically a feeling of closeness to Hashem? There is a beautiful thought from Rav Moshe Feinstein. I might have mentioned this on in a different shir. I don't remember. There's a Rashi. Rashi in source number 8. Right on the bottom of the first page still. Rashi in source number 8 discusses in Parshas Emor. I think we might have done this on a Friday morning, maybe. Not a Friday morning, maybe. I don't know. Some other shir. But anyway, if you look in Parshas Emor, Rashi is bothered by the following question. Parshas Emor has the Parsha of the Moadim. So Balkori here would tell you, but it starts off with Eila Moadesh Mikrei Kodesh. These are the Moadim. What's the first Moed?
Shabbos.
And then it says again, Eila Moad Hashem, as if the Torah recognizes, oh, made a mistake. What's Shabbos doing there? Sorry. Restart, reboot. Eila Moad Hashem Mikrei Kodesh. So it says the Torah puts in Shabbos and then like restarts. And but what's Shabbos doing there? In the Parsha of the Moad. It talks about Shabbos 7 times in the Torah. What's it doing in the Parsha of the Moadim about the Yomim Tovim in Emor? That's what Rashi is quoting. Rashi, source number 8. Ma inyan Shabbos etzal Moados. What is Shabbos and what's Shabbos doing with Moados? Lulamedcha. And by the way, this thought just of Rav Moshe, it's a great what we call back pocket. Because it's about Shabbos and Yantif any day of the year, you could say over this Rav Moshe. Stam, separate from the rest of the shir. This Rav Moshe is very, you might call, has a lot of utility. Right, it's very useful in terms of Dvar Torah. So, so Rashi says, what is Shabbos have to do with Yom Tov? What's it doing here? L'lameitcha is to teach me. Shekala machala l'samoados. Anyone who violates Moed, ki'ilu chila l'sashabaso. So if you violate Yom Tov, it's as if you violated Shabbos. Don't think, oh, you keep Shabbos, but you don't keep Yom Tov. No. If you don't keep Yom Tov, you didn't keep Shabbos. V'chala makayim esamoados. And if whoever fulfills the Yom Tov, malan alav ki'ilu kiyim esashabasos. If you keep Yom Tov, you kept Shabbos too. Right, so what does that mean? Shabbos, Yom Tov, they're separate. They're two, they're connected, but what does that mean? Shabbos and Yom Tov. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, unbelievable. Shabbos and Yom Tov are two halves. They're each a half of what we need to believe. Let's see what he says. Line 6. Nira bebir hadvarim. The Shabbos harehi tachlis ha'emuna bebrias ha'olam. Shabbos is Hashem as the bore, as the creator. Right? We rest on Shabbos to recognize that Hashem rested, kaviyachol, when he created the world. Umitam zeh hamachal Shabbos, if somebody does not keep Shabbos, chas v'shalom, kilu kofer b'maisabracious, as if he denies creation. Shabbos is Hashem as the bore. Yantif, Hashem as the manhig. The one that's constantly involved in history. Shabbos, Hashem created the world, but maybe he's a busy God. Maybe he has other things to do. No. What does Yantif teach me? Hashem's still involved. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, every holiday is about something else Hashem did for us. Hanhaga manhig. So, Moados, who emuna, Hashem Yisbarach, Magnes, on Kula Ba'atzmo. The Moadim, the Chagim, that's Hashem is involved in the world. Umishade des Ateva, and he changes and negates nature. Kirtzono, Latzalas Yisrael, Shelachin, Keshehutzrach, Ligolosan, Ami Mitzrayim. When he wanted to redeem us, Asalano Nisim, Mosan, Misham. When he wanted to redeem us, he took us out. Says Rav Moshe, V'amra Torah, line 7, Emuna b'chatzi davar eino klum. Emuna halfway is worthless. Why? I believe Hashem created the world, but I think that he's a busy God. He's busy doing other things in other worlds, and he doesn't have enough time for us. So what was the purpose of creating the world then? He created the world and then just like left it for... You know, if you ever create something, you like care about it, and you want to protect it, then you don't want it to go to waste. And so if you do Shabbos on Yom Tov, then you're missing. You're missing even Shabbos. And then what about the other way? I believe Hashem is involved in the world. Who created the world? I don't know. But Hashem's involved in the world. No, then you're missing, because who's the Borei then? So that's Rav Moshe. Says that's Rashi. Shabbos and Yom Tov are a team. Shabbos is Hashem is the Borei. Yom Tov Hashem is the Manhig. And that's why Shabbos is there. It's Shabbos is there in the Parsha of the Moadim, but it's a separate section. Because it's a separate idea, but it's connected. And one is mashlim the other. Right? Emuna b'chatzi davar eino klum. That's Ramosha. And then he continues and he explains exactly what I just said. And that's why towards the end, they're connected to each other. But what do you see from here, this thought of Ramosha? Yontif is about recognizing Hashem is Mashkiach. Hashem's involved in my life. That's the Lifnei Hashem of Yontif. It's not just that we go to the Ola Regel on the Beis HaMikdash. But Yontif is a day that we are supposed to remember and internalize and feel that Hashem is involved in our life. And Hashem is in charge of our life. Just like He was on Pesach, and just like He is. Not was, is. Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos. That's the Yontif feeling. Again, the Rav. Simcha, the root of Simcha is Lifnei Hashem. I'm just adding, what's the Lifnei Hashem on Yontif that even, not Shabbos? Because Lifnei Hashem Yontif is about Hashem as the Mashgiach. Hashem as the Mashgiach, Hashem is the one that's involved. So Simcha, then, the definition of Simcha is a recognition that there is specific, particular hashgacha in the world, in feeling close to the Borei Olam. Right, that's simcha. Simcha is when we feel there is a Baal Habira, when there's somebody in charge. We take comfort in that. So that's the definition of simcha. But go to the next step. That's simcha, Yontif. This simcha of realizing hashgachas Hashem, that He takes care of us, should then bring us to another feeling. And it's a feeling that those who had emuna and believed in Hashgacha during Corona, I'm telling you, if you didn't believe in this, then you just went nuts. And the world was, there's no say there. But if somebody recognizes Hashgacha's Hashem, that Hashem always takes care of us, it brings a sense of wholeness and even serenity, of calmness. When we realize Hashem takes care of us, when we can feel that closeness, Hashem's in charge. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. Sometimes it's hard to feel that, especially as a country in the past couple of months, but Hashem is in charge. We have to do our part, but He's in charge, and that gives us a serenity. Right? The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, as we know, that there's a different definition of chachma than the world thinks. Right, a chacham is not somebody who has the highest IQ. A chacham is someone who learns from every person, from every situation. Remember we mentioned the Baal Shem Tov a couple of weeks ago? The Baal Shem Tov, every situation that comes in front of me must be for a reason. Right, ezeu chacham, ezeu gibar. What's a real gibar? Gvura? Kovesh es Yisro, somebody who could hold back. Somebody could hold back. I once was talking to a Talmud of Rav Volbi, right, the Ali Shur. So I asked him to tell me something about Revolbi. Like he learned with Revolbi. He says, Revolbi said five times a day. So he says, I try to do it once. Revolbi can do it five times. Five times a day, or at least once, say no to yourself. Like you're going to go and take the cookie. Okay, just hold back for 5 minutes. Right, you're going to go do something, like relax, like put your head down. 5 minutes. Don't put your head down yet. Push yourself another 5 minutes. Right, sometime during the day. It teaches us that we're in charge of ourselves. Ezuhi gibor hakovich es yitzro. That's gvura. Gvura is somebody who could control their feelings and their emotions. So that's gvura. That's chachma. That's gvura. What's ashirus? Ezu ashir, as we know, hasameach bechalka. Someone who is happy with what he has. So what does that mean? That doesn't just mean, you know, they appreciate. They don't feel like they're missing anything. And this is a very hard to perfect this midah. But if we have the ultimate simcha and recognition of amida lefnei Hashem, if I feel that I lack something, sometimes we feel, and I feel this too, sometimes, I'm supposed to have this. Why don't I have it? They have it. Why don't I have it? I'm supposed to have it. I'm missing something. Parnassa, vacation, right? I was supposed to go away October 8th with my wife. We were supposed to go away for our 25th anniversary 2 years ago, but then Corona hit. So, okay, we delayed it. the morning after Simchas Torah, we had flights. October 8th. So I'm missing. I'm supposed to be in, I don't know, it was Switzerland. Didn't happen. I'm supposed to. So if I feel I'm missing something, and it was like, it's hard. Because like, no, that's where I'm supposed to. If I'm not there, then Hashem didn't want me to be there. I'm not missing anything. Do I feel that Hashem, like, forgot about me? Right? No, no. Remember? No, I'm supposed to be there. I'm not Sameach. There's a chelek that I need a different chelek, not the chelek that I have. But if somebody is besimcha, true simcha, is Sameach bechelko. Whatever I have, I have. I'm complete. And I'm happy with my chelek. I think I told you this before. The Chafetz Chaim, they say when he was a little boy, what? You just read the Chafetz Chaim, right? Remember, if you were God, if you were Hashem, they went around the room. If you were Hashem, what'd you do? So one of them said, oh, I'd give money to that ani. Another one said, I'd heal that other person. And what did Yisrael Meir say? I wouldn't change anything, because if it was supposed to be, then it would be. It would be. If I was Hashem, I wouldn't change anything, because if it was supposed to be something else. Some of the Bali Musar say, Ashir, yeah, he is. Ashir stands for Einayim, Shinayim, Yadayim, and Raglayim. You have your Einayim, Shinayim, Yadayim, and Raglayim. You're able to see, you're able to chew. Some people can't chew. You have legs, Rachmana Litzlan. Over the past 4 months, there were some of our tzaddikim in our generation that lost some of these limbs. You have Einayim, Shinayim, Yadayim, Raglayim. You're an Ashir. I just heard in a shir a day or two ago. I don't know who said it. Oh, I think I know. Anyway, sorry about the Brisker Rav. The Briskers, you know, in general, Salvechiks are always very up. This is a generalization. They're uptight. They're like, did I do that mitzvah properly? They say a story that they say that the who was it? The Beis Halevi, I think. It was the Nitziv versus the Brisker Rav. But the Nitziv, Beis Halevi? Wait, was the Nitziv about the two Seders? About the two Seder. Maybe it was about the Nitziv. The Nitziv, you know, he experienced two Sedarim. One, he went to his, the Nitziv was 1892. I guess he was, I forgot which of the Salvechiks. There were two Sedarim. There was one at the Seder of the Nitziv and one at the Seder of the Beis Halevi. And at the Beis Halevi Seder, it was like the matzah was like momish, like black. Like it was like hardly edible. Like, and they like zoomed through and they had like, the wine was like totally undiluted and everybody's leading like this. And like you got through and they had to finish everything by like, I don't know, 10:42 and a half and make sure they give out the matzah and they give out the maror. And it's like intense and anxiety filled. And like, and then like the Nitziv, the other Rosh Hashiva in Volosh, they went, Nitziv is like, relax. He's a tzaddik too, and a machbid on halacha. But like, so there's anxiety. Like, you have to make sure, did I do the mitzvah right? Did I do this? They tell a story that the Brisker Rav, I don't know which ghetto he was in World War II before he came to Israel. But it was Palestine at the time. But he was in some ghetto, and they noticed that he had a certain shalvas hanefesh. He was like calm. And it was like very un-Grizz-like. Like, you're usually so like, it's a hist about like, so they finally suddenly went over to him and said, you know, what's going on? Why are you so calm? He says, you know, most of the things in life, you know, I think that I'm in control. Am I tzitzis kosher? Did I have proper kavana when I said poseichas yodecha? When I, did I do this? So like anything that I'm involved in and I'm in charge of, I'm anxious. And I'm like, did I do it? And that's why Briskers never write any of their Torah down because they think they're going to think it's wrong next week. That's where Reb Chaim only wrote the Gracha L'Rama. So, but because but now in the ghetto, I realize this matzav that we're in now, it's totally out of my control. I have zero control. I realize it's all up to Hashem. And that gives me shalvas hanefesh, ironically. When I realize that I'm not in control, when I let go, then all of a sudden I feel calm. And that's how we have to look at every situation in life, especially challenging situations in life. We have to do everything we can, but once we do our ishtadlus, so then the rest is not up to us. But that's the root of that comes from a feeling of closeness to Hashem, recognizing that He's in charge, He's the Mashgiach, which is the definition of Simcha. Because when we have Simcha and we feel a fulfillment, a certain serenity comes over us. That's part one. So again, what's Simcha? It's using Simcha to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an outlook. It's a Lifnei Hashem, which is related, which is connecting to Yantif. It's Sameach Bechelko. That's Simcha. Because I realize this is my chelek, and it's not supposed to be anybody else's chelek. And I'm not saying it's not challenging. It's very challenging when people go through very, very difficult situations. Right? I went yesterday to pay a shiva call to Rabbi Peretz. He's an amazing person, but there are very difficult situations. But we take comfort. We take comfort in that, you know, Hashem's in charge. Part two. So what does Purim and Amalek have to do with this? So some of this I'm sure you have heard of. Amalek is about exactly the opposite of this. Amalek is about, Hashem is not in charge. Hashem does not have it under control. You know what's in control? Coincidence. What did Haman do? What am I going to kill the Jews? I don't know. Let's make a lottery. Let's make a go roll. Total chance. Total not Ashgacha. That's the koach of Amalek. Right? As probably have heard, Amalek is the gematria of Safek. He sows doubt. But Shabrach was not, he's not in charge. Maybe he is, but maybe he isn't. There's a Rashi, right? It's on Parsha Zohar, right? The end of Kisei, the last three psukim, right? The pasuk says, remember what Amalek did? Asher karcha baderech. That's a tough word. What does karcha mean? How many times does Rashi give three pshatim? Very few. Rashi gives three pshatim to the word karcha here. Right? We have all these chumras, Parsha Zohar. You got to have kavana, and you have to say zecher and zecher. And you know what the biggest chumra is? Know what the words mean. Right, you have to know, it's three psukim. Just know the translation of the words. We have to know what we're saying to fulfill this mitzvah. So Rashi says, Asher karcha, source 11. Asher karcha baderech lashon mikra. Karcha is from the word mikra, coincidence. Asher karcha baderech, Amalek happened to be walking in the desert, and the Jews happened to be coming. And boom, look! Look at that, Amalek happened upon the Jews. What a coincidence. Pshat 1, Asher karcha baderech. Pshat 2, davar acher, lashon keri vituma. Right, karcha is from the word impurity. He impurified you. Asher karcha baderech. 2. Davar acher, lashon kor vachom. He cooled you off. Kor, cold. He cooled you off. Sinancha vehivshircha meritichascha. He cooled you off from your boiling state. When we went out of Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, no other nation was going to start up with us. They were in awe. They were scared. They're like, we're not starting up. Amalek came. We'll go. We'll go fight the Jews. Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? Mashal. And remember this. Mashal Ambati Rosachas. You have a boiling hot tub. Right? Jacuzzi. She'en kol bir yechol alei relitocha. Nobody could go in. It's boiling hot. What happens when one person goes into the jacuzzi? By the time the fourth person goes in, not that I've been in so many jacuzzis, but it's already cooled off. Oh, you cooled it off for me, thanks. So he went in, he burned himself, but he cooled it off for everybody else. He cooled us off. Karcha. So three pshatim. Karcha. Number one, lashon mikra. Coincidence. Number two, keri, impurity. Number three, kor, colds. Rav Sternbach, he's source number 12. He's one of the elder, he's in his upper 90s, one of the elder rabbis. He's in Har Nof. He originally was in South Africa many years ago. He was an old man when I was in yeshiva. Right, so now he's like the elder. Anyway, so Venira Lavar, he says, put all three of the pshatim of Rashi together. All three pshatim are at root one. Like we said, Amalek is about doubt, is about suffix. When we went out of Mitzrayim, the whole world had strong emunah. They were boiling with emunah. It was hot. It was fire. What did he do? He came along and used his power to say, ah! He cooled off the Amuna. Mikre, coincidence! Coincidence! You hear about the strong tide yesterday? It was like the strongest tide on record. It blew the water! That's unbelievable! Wow, what a strong tide. You heard that they had a terrible case of food poisoning in Egypt. You know, they had a firstborn party, and they all were food poisoned. They all died. God, they planted doubt in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in charge, and that's the ultimate in impurity. That's Keri. That's cooled off the Emunah. That's Lashon Mikra. Right, that's from Sternbach in Source 12. V'nira levarba says, she'ikr tumas ha'malik asher karcha sha'kol mikre v'yafilo achar nisim in the flows aglimi day after the open miracles. Shahaya b'yitzias b'nisrayim bo heim she'im bali kishuf, they came with their magic v'amru sha'kol sheker v'akol mikre. And what is the Purim story? Right, before we get there, that's ha'malik. So that part I knew a little bit. I heard a shir a couple weeks ago. There's Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, he's a couple younger than I was in camp with him a couple years ago. He's a bunch of years younger than me. But he quoted this pasuk in Daniel. What is the pasuk in Daniel? Daniel comes up in the Megillah. Where Daniel comes up in the Megillah? The Gemara says that Hatach, Hasach, is Daniel. Or one of the advisors. One of the advisors. That's the Gemara Megillah, Tesvav. Rav says Hasach is Daniel. But Daniel lived at the time of the Megillah. So there's a pasuk in Sefer Daniel. Daniel, by the way, is one of the underrated Sfarim. I gave Shiran it 2 years ago. I never learned Daniel before. It's powerful. The last three prakim, we have no idea what it's talking about. Okay, fine. But the first 10 prakim, Daniel, the lion's den, and the statue of Anubu-Nassar, and smash, and it's like the fire. It's exciting. It's an exciting Sefer. I mean, the first middle five prakim are in like this hard Aramaic. Okay, you can read it in English. But anyway, it's an exciting sefer. So it says there, Daniel describes. Look what he says in Source 14. Va'ere b'chazon. I saw in a vision. V'yahi birosi va'ani b'shushan abira. I'm in Shushan. Right? He was there. He was in Shushan. I saw Daniel. That's where he... Between the first and the second of Beis HaMikdash, right when the Purim story happened, va'era bechazon, I see myself in a vision, va'ani ayiti, and I was right next to a river. Uval is a river. What was the name of the river? Look at this. Ulai. The river named Ulai. What is Ulai? Maybe. That was Shushan. That was Shushan. That was Amalek. The river Ulai. Maybe there's God. Maybe there's not God. Maybe there's somebody in charge. Maybe there's nobody in charge. Who knows? That's the koach of Amalek. It's unbelievable. I heard that. I was very excited. Right? But we have to recognize that we defeated Amalek. Amalek's not totally defeated until Mashiach comes, right? That's what it says. Ki yad al keska. The keys say that the throne of Hashem will not be completed. But what we defeated. This even, the Gemara and Megillah. You know this Gemara? 15, Yud Beis. Gemara and Megillah says, Shalu Talmidev as Rav Shimon Bayechai. The students ask Rav Shimon Bayechai. Mipnei ma nischaibu sonim shi Yisrael shabos odar kliya. Why were the Jews deserving to be decimated and killed out? Why? Amar Lahem, so like a good Rebbe, what does he say? Imratem, no, what do you think? Rebbe, I asked you the question. No, what do you think? Amrullah, they say, oh, mipnei shenenu misudasa shalo sura rasha. Because they took part and enjoyed themselves at the party. Right, they were at the party with Achashverosh. Achashverosh, he was wearing the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. They were using the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and they were partying there. They were partying there. So, you know, there were probably some Jews that were saying, you know, if we don't take part in the party, it's not going to be good for us politically. And, you know, we have to. So that's what they said. They took place in the party. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, good try. But then why were all the Jews deserving of punishment? Right? The whole world? The Jews in the Medinos all the way out? So why were they killed? Why were they right to be killed? So they said, okay, you got us, Rabbi, you say. Amr lo, Amr atal, okay, so you say, we tried. we were not successful. So Amar Lahem, he says, because in a previous generation, the Jews bowed down to the idol of Ahasuerus, of Nebuchadnezzar. Right? Vashti was Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter.
Wasn't
Avodah Zarah. Right? It's a machlokes whether it was really Avodah Zarah or not. It might have been, right, Abizrayu Avodah Zarah. We spoke about that a little bit. It was either Mamash Avodah Zarah or not, but so they bowed down. Amrulo. So, but they say to him, V'chimasu panim yesh badavar. So if they actually did it, so then why were they zocha to the salvation? If we actually deserved, because we bowed down to this idol, so why were we saved? Amar Laham, so Rishon Baichai says, did they really want to bow down to the idol? Haim lo asu elo lefnim. They only did it because they were scared. So it was only surface service. It was only surface service. Look at this line. So too Hashem. Hashem was always going to save them. It was surface danger. We thought we were in danger, but it was surface danger. So take a step back for a minute. According to this Gemara, we were never in danger. Or were we? As long as we did our ishtadlus, we were never in danger. Right? We had to fast and we had to do our things. But Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs the world. And maybe that's alluded to, well, I forgot to give it to you, but maybe it's alluded to in the Gemara, right? Chayev Inish Levesumi. So, Baruch Mordechai, Arur Haman. Maybe the message of that Gemara is that don't think that you could figure it out. Right? If you would have asked Mordechai and Esther at the time, how is this going to work? How are we going to be saved? Right? They would have said, I don't know, but you know what? We'll just do our best. We'll do our thing. We'll fast. We'll go. Right? So don't do cheshbonos. You don't know what is it greater that we were saved or that he was killed? Don't try to figure it out. Anytime when the Jews needed salvation, right, if you would have asked before the 1967 Six-Day War, it's not shayach to explain that. Because when Jews needed salvation, it's, right, we can't get caught up in the details. And it was v'nahafoch when Hashem has that power. But we just have to keep strong in that recognition and that simcha. And the pasuk says, and I heard this, or Ephraim Waxman mentioned this in the shir, right? The pasuk says towards the end, right after like Haman falls on Esther, Charvona wakes up. Charvona, who Chazal say is Eliyahu Hanavi. Charvona, one of his advisors says, "Hey, hinei ha'eitz, here's the tree." Look at source 17. Read the pasuk without what's underlined. And the pasuk reads perfectly. Right? Gam hinei ha'etz, Charvona says to Achashverosh, "Hey, the tree, asher asa Haman leMordechai, the tree that Haman made for Mordechai, omei beveis Haman, it's standing, gobo, it's 50 amos, so hang him on it." Great idea. But what does Charvona say? He doesn't just say, "Hey, here's the tree." He says, "Hey, the tree that Haman hung for Mordechai, asher diber tov al hamelech." Remember that Mordechai guy that spoke good about you, that saved your life. Ashi diber tov al hamelech. That Mordechai, you know, he built the tree for that Mordechai. You know, hang him on it. What do we have to have that phrase for? Why did Charvona have to say that phrase? The tree that Haman made for Mordechai, who spoke nicely about the king, you know, that tree is available for Haman. So he explained the total eradication of Amalek and Haman is when Asher Diber Tov al Hamelech, when we are Medaber Tov on the king. Right? And Hamelech, they say, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it doesn't specify. When we are Diber Tov al Hamelech, that's when Geula happens. When we recognize it's all part of the plan. Diber Tov al Hamelech. When we speak positively. Even when it doesn't feel tov, we are Diber Tov al Hamelech. And that's hard. But that's the emunah that we have. We know it's tov. And he quoted this story that I've heard before, but it was a story about there were a bunch of chassidim on a train, and they were all like boasting about their Rebbe. My Rebbe does such a mo-face. My Rebbe is bigger than your Rebbe. I could do this miracle, that. And there was one businessman that was sitting there that wasn't saying anything, and they finally turned to him and said, "New, what about your Rebbe? You have any mo-face?" He says, "Yeah, I have a mo-face." They're like, "What?" He says, "Like I'm a chassid of the Rebbe Rashab. Rashab is the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe." So he says, "Yeah." He says, "I'll tell you a mo-face." He says, "One time, you know, I had a lot of money I wanted to invest. And I went to the Rebbe Rashab. I'm like, do you think this is a good investment?" He says, "Excellent, yes. Excellent investment." I went to him the next day to make sure. I asked him again a second time. I said, "Are you sure this is there's some risks involved, but you think this is a good investment?" He says, 100%. Put all your money in there. I asked him a second, a third time, finally, okay, he said it. I put all my money in, and I lost all my money. I lost all the money. And they're like, "So what's the mo-face?" He says, "You don't understand. You know what the mo-face is? That I'm still a chassid of the Rebbe Rashab. We are chassidim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, invest here, and this, and that, and Asher Diber Tov Al HaMelech. That's the mo-face. That we are chassidim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why the state of Israel is the fifth on the list of the World Happiness Report. Because we are Dibur Tov Al HaMelech. Why is it that when the war started there was so much religious awakening, tefillin and tzitzis and Shabbos? Because that's what we're connected to. So why is it Dafka Purim? Why is it Dafka Adar? This is Yontif in general. Yontif and Pesach and, right? Every Yontif as Hashem is the Manhig. So why Dafka Purim? So I think maybe it has to be, this is the only one that's not open miracles. To feel close to Hashem and recognize Him when you see Kriyas Yamsuf, when you see Anane HaKavod, okay, fine, that's one level of feeling closeness. But if we're Zoche, to feel and realize Hashem's Hanhaga, B'derech HaTeva, like the Purim story, that's a more intense connection. And that's a more intense feeling, and that's a greater feeling of simcha. And that's why there's marbim b'simcha in Adar. Because that's the only yantiv, as we know, there's no open miracle. But that's what it's about. B'simcha, somebody pointed out, b'simcha is the same letters as machshava. Because a state of besimcha is so much in our machshav, in our mentality. Right? It's so easy to get caught up in headlines, in strategies, in politicians. Hashem's in charge. This levaya that I went to from Daniel Peretz, his father, first words he spoke before he started his hesped, he said, "You know what, this morning, my wife and I were talking, and we said, how can we go to this levaya? How do we do this?" The same way he said, I said 4 months ago. Remember his son, right, a week after Simchas Torah, his son was engaged to get married. His son was patsua, was injured. And the question is to have the wedding because their other son was missing. They had the wedding, and they decided, you know, we're going to have the wedding. They had the wedding a week and a half after Simchas Torah. Now they just found out about their other son. But he says, because he said the same thing that morning. He says, I said to my wife, like, do we focus on what we have? Do we focus on what we don't have? We made a decision. We're going to focus on what we do have. And that's what he said before the levaya. He says, what we have here is we're having a levaya. We're giving kavod to our son. He says, you focus on what we have. Asher diber tov al hamelech. It's unbelievable. That's what Rav Rimon at the levaya also said. He says, what do we have? We have the first time in history. First time in history that after a pogrom, we don't just like crawl into our hole and hope for the best. We're able to stand up proudly and say, we are Am Yisrael, we are the state of Israel, and we are fighting back. And we will not let this happen again. And that's something that we never had before. And we have to recognize what we do have. And we daven for more. We daven for a geula, but this is the month. This is the month to see Hashem in our life even more than any other yantif. And we daven for v'nahafochu and laihu demaisa ora. So simcha, lifnei Hashem, serenity, control, and recognizing that that's the power of Amalek, and we're living with Amalek now, but we daven for Mechias Amalek and Zechiras Amalek. Okay, so this is the, I'm going to be talking to you about Purim, and just send me the recording of this if you can. But let's do a little parsha.